We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, let's see. So we have the chief economist of Bank of America and the chief economist of Deutsche Bank saying Janet Yellen is, she's pulling your leg. Your Treasury Secretary, appointed by Joe Biden, Biden administration member. This inflation is not good. You're not going to love it, like she says. It's not great for the economy. It's not great for America. And it's, most importantly, not transitory. So you now have... this warning, time bomb is the word the Deutsche Bank chief economist used. And then Bank of America's chief economist, she claimed the Fed is wrong, flat out said it. And that the U.S. is facing an unprecedented period of far higher non-transitory inflation. So the Biden administration's position is, hey, it's awesome. You're going to love it. If you don't, you're a racist and shut up. And we're going to spend $1 trillion more. Actually, I made up the racist part. They haven't said that yet, but I'm waiting for somebody to do it.
Well, that's.
I mean, it's their playbook. So, but anyway, the rest of it's true. So they're all saying it's great. It's fine. And I think it's interesting if you watch the evolution of Janet Yellen and nobody's paying attention to this. I mean, a few weeks ago, she was admitting there was inflation, but saying, hey, you know what? We're going to have to raise rates to handle it. Well, you don't do that with transitory inflation, not in a major way. And then she took it back. Now she's saying it's transitory and you'll love it, when she wasn't saying you would love it at all a few weeks ago. So she's all over the place. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, goes at the whole world knows this is going on with the dollar. They all know. Goes before the G7 and suggests that you and I, who are currently struggling to pay for things like hamburger at the grocery store, given the price hikes, lumber, good luck if you want a used vehicle, that we should all pay $40 trillion to build the world's infrastructure up. Did you see this? I mean, they must have laughed behind closed doors. $40 trillion, y'all are broke. Now, the whole world was supposed to pay into this, obviously not just us. $40 trillion. To, quote, build back better for the world. We don't even get our own infrastructure in the infrastructure bill.
No.
There's like no almost no roads or bridges. But he wants to do this for the world. And he says that we have to spend the money because the Chinese are building roads and bridges. And so we have to do it. So you have to pay. And I'm like, with what money? I mean, they must be looking at him like, dude, have you listened to the chief economist from Deutsche Bank, Bank of America? Son, you can't borrow even $1 trillion more. How are you going to put the American taxpayer on the hook for bridges and roads all over the world? He doesn't say. It was just one more bizarre incident after another with Biden. I mean, just not living in any world we recognize. You got to go to the New York Post to find this out. Headline, Biden's gaffe at G7 summit sparks laughter from world leaders. And it did. Did you see this?
what is it now?
Okay. Biden and Barrett. This is the New York Post. Biden embarrassed himself at the G7 summit when he tried to correct British Prime Minister Boris Johnson for not introducing the president of South Africa, even though Johnson had already introduced the president of South Africa. Okay, look, I get you sit through a lot of these long, boring meetings. Like, I get you can make a mistake like that. Any of us could. But again, let's just pretend for a moment Trump had done this.
Yeah. I know.
Because that's the standard we have to use here, right? This would be a major international incident. And you can hear in the video, it was all over Sky News, the other world leaders breaking into laughter after Biden does this. As Johnson's like, nah, I already introduced him. Now, why would Johnson do this to the supposed leader of the free world? Well, because Biden just slapped him over Ireland and Brexit, which, like, that is a dead issue.
Yeah, it's gone. It's over.
The UK populace, they've already voted on it twice.
Yeah, actually three times.
Yeah. So, I mean, why are you slapping, and you tell your underlings to go deliver the message to Johnson that he's wrong? To what end?
Well, this is
it's
also,
over.
It's also the president that confused Syria and Libya three times in one paragraph.
And you know what's crazy? That whole Syrian, and by the way, the Libyan conflict, both of them, happened when he was vice president.
Mm-hmm.
This did not happen under Trump. He should know this stuff. All right, granted, Hillary handled it from the Secretary of State. But I mean, I'm just somebody's mom who does a talk show and I know this. How do you confuse Syria and Libya?
Yeah.
How do you even do that? Syria isn't even an African nation. I mean, never mind. Okay.
Yeah. So,
was he paying attention at all during the Obama administration? I guess would be the question that you, because Trump would be asked that if he made that kind of gaffe.
And then him telling that the U.S. now is re-engaged with NATO, that we're back, and that we didn't really leave, and I'm like, look, the only thing that Donald Trump did was bring out the reality, which many conservative Republicans have been pointing out for years, that NATO countries are not paying their fair share. They're required to have a 2% GDP, 2% of their GDP go to their own self-defense. Great Britain right now is the only NATO member, other than the U.S., that is doing that. They have a little bit over 2% of their GDP that they are spending on national defense. Every other NATO nation is well below that. And there was nothing wrong with Donald Trump pointing out, which is a part of the NATO agreement.
By the way, remember Jens Stoltenberg, who is the Secretary General of NATO? That would be, for those of you on Common Core world history, that would be the leader of NATO since 2014, agreed with Trump.
Yeah.
That, yeah, the U.S. has been paying way too much of the bill for way too long. These other countries need to pony up.
I'm just going to bring this up one more time, though. One of the best foreign policy speeches I have ever heard was Donald Trump in Europe speaking, and I believe it was in Poland, when he was speaking about NATO and what it meant and what its job was and what European history and American history, what we had in common, the conflicts we had gone through, and the threat of the Soviet Union and the threat of communism and the threats that the continent, the European continent, still undergoes. That was one of the best foreign policy speeches I've heard in a long time, not since Ronald Reagan. That was years ago, but it seems like a lifetime ago now.
Yeah, so the whole world's laughing at our president, and the only people who don't get it are the U.S. media, which is very interesting. So you got all that going on. And then this, the Joint Chiefs having to come out in the middle of this G7 thing. This was huge. In the middle of this G7 thing, after Biden claims that you might think he's joking, but he's not joking. And the biggest threat the Joint Chiefs told him is climate change.
This is not a joke. You know what the Joint Chiefs told us the greatest threat facing America was? Global warming.
Yeah. At the time, I said either he's lying, which is the most likely scenario because he lies a lot, or the Joint Chiefs were lying. One of the two is lying. We got to figure out who it was. Well, did you see this? Joint Chiefs of Staff had the Milley, Army General Mark Milley, had to come out. No, sorry. And he says climate change does impact, but he said, I'm putting, you know, it's China and Russia would be the big threats.
You think?
And Lee, to me, that was the biggest thing last week. I mean, on the week that we find out that, you know, yes, looks like this virus was engineered to Wuhan lab. It's the most likely scenario. Even the mainstream media is admitting it. That's the week you keep your mouth shut about what the biggest threat is if you don't want to say China. Mm-hmm. And he volunteers this. Nobody asked him. He just out of nowhere volunteers it and then has to be corrected by the Joint Chiefs on the world stage.
That's okay. American media covers for him.
They do. But, you know, last week on the Battleground podcast, I thought the big winner for the week was China. I mean, Chairman Xi just learned definitively, look, this guy doesn't even think China's a threat after this. He thinks, you know, climate change is a threat. That was a nod to China. You're cool. I got your back. It's good. It's fine. We're cool with COVID. It's all good. Nobody cares. At least not in this administration. That's what the message was there. Because why else would you bring it up? Literally right after. I mean, the whole world is looking to see, like, wow, it's the G7. Are they going to, you know, hang this Wuhan thing around China's neck? Nope. Ollie, ollie, oxen free, like we used to say as kids. That was the message. It wasn't about climate change. It wasn't about that. So, yeah, this was a really weird trip, and I'm going to be really glad when it's over. By the way, did you say, I cannot get over this, Lee. Hunter Biden is now a big artist.
An artiste?
He's an artiste, yes. And his works, the collective artworks of Hunter Biden, you can get, like, something he's scratched out on paper for, like, $75,000. But if you want, like, one of his paintings, it's going to run you up to $500,000. People are paying it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We know what they're paying for.
We don't know what they're buying, actually.
Yeah.
They get a painting for their donation, but we don't know what they're buying. I have a pretty good idea, though.
Yeah.
By the way, this is an old mafia scam. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
The mafia?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You can pay me protection money, and I will give you a painting in exchange.
Exactly.
Anyway, so if you would like to buy one of Hunter's paintings, which will run you up to $500,000, you should contact Soho art dealer George Berger, who has extensive Chinese connections, including connections to the Chinese Communist Party. But I'm sure that is just a coincidence.
Who needs that Picasso or that Rembrandt, you know, or
not
the Monet?
Not when you can get a Biden.
Exactly.
Yes, and display it proudly in your home.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, so last week I got some pushback from some of you, and that might have been in part my own fault, because I didn't really go into the detail I should have. I have been trying to wake parents up to what is going on inside our campuses, even places like Clemson and USC. The absolute propaganda. And I told you a story of a listener who wanted to know, and this was a guy who wasn't really even into politics or listening to talk radio. His son got him into it. They knocked doors together for Trump. His son went off to school. A religious kid. Door knocking for Trump. Got his dad into it, not the other way around. By junior year, he's a Bernie Sanders supporter and an atheist. His dad said, how's this happen? And I'm here to tell you, a lot of you think you could send your kid to college. Oh, I've given him a good background. You have no idea what you're up against. None. And a lot of people took this as me saying, don't send your kid to college. Obviously, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is traditional college, you need to start to look at it. Where are you sending your child? Anyway, the dad wanted to know, should he pay the tuition for junior year? My opinion, no. Mm-mm, no. He supports Bernie Sanders, he can pay it himself. If he wants more of the same, and that's what he wants to marinate in, he could pay it himself. But that's partly dad's fault. Dad sent him off thinking everything was going to be fine. I can't tell you how many of these texts and phone calls and emails I get from parents just like this. I don't understand what happened. I'm here to warn you. This is your warning. And we're doing this in our own family. I have two very bright kids, and it breaks my heart to think I can't send them to the kind of school they deserve or would have deserved to go to. But I can't, and I won't. I can't pay for that. I cannot send their brains there. I can't. So we're having to look at other options that are not academically what we would have strived for before, top tier schools, because there's just no options left for that. Unless you want to marinate your kid in communism, totalitarianism, and cancel culture for 4 years at your own expense. And you're a fool if you do. And if you tell yourself, my kid is, your kid is not prepared for what's coming. And you know how bad it is. I'll tell you about it. Spend some time on my Facebook page today. Headline, and you really got to hear this. North Korean defector. She's a North Korean defector. Escaped North Korea to China because she was so starving, she risked her life for a bowl of rice. She was immediately sold as a sex slave in China. 13 years old, y'all. Her story is amazing, how she eventually escaped China, too, to come here and go to Columbia University. She was appalled by what she saw. And she's got a warning for American parents. She says, even North Korea was not this nuts after attending an Ivy League school. And don't tell yourself this isn't at Clemson. Don't tell yourself this isn't at USC. It is. They are coming for your kids. And if you pay them to come for your kids, that's on you. You got to start to think differently than we have in the past as parents. I just want you to hear this. Her accent is heavy, but her message is so important. Just listen closely to this. And she's talking about cancel culture and how it was as totalitarian inside the Columbia University classroom, if not more, than North Korea. And she is shocked by it.
Say, oh, that can't happen here. What's your response?
I think that's the same thing I always think. Every day at Columbia, I was thinking, how is it possible? I couldn't believe that was actually happening to this country. You know, every single day I go to classroom and they tell me, you know, in order for us to create a safe place, we need to stop asking the truth. And that's what it was in North Korea, that they told us in order for us to be, you know, protected by the dear leader, we should be stopped questioning. And that was exactly at Columbia I had to go through.
So you're basically saying that you felt silenced is what I'm hearing from you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the worst thing is not just silenced. As soon as I spoke out, they were saying, oh, you're just brainwashed from North Korea. And just seeing everybody, you know, doing that, I think they were not just silenced in order to fit in and not being canceled. Everybody had to echo whatever they were saying. Mm. And I think for me to get a good GPA and graduate, I had to really shut up and, you know, echo whatever they said.
And I'm sure you weren't the only one who felt that way. There was one thing that I read that really stood out to me. I want to make sure I get it right. You say people in America are just dying to give their rights and power to the government. Why do you think that is?
I think this is what makes me question the human nature. I mean, obviously, I saw how people can be oppressed to the point they don't know even they're oppressed, right? My people in North Korea right now, that they do not know they are slaves to a dictator. Now I came to America, people were talking about animals' rights, and they're talking about their oppression, systemic oppression. And I was telling them, you know that if you're oppressed, that means you are not oppressed. You know, not knowing is a true definition of oppression. So it was so bizarre that why they're voluntarily trying to give their individual liberty away so they can be slaves.
Her parents want you to listen. Her impression of what it's like inside Columbia University classrooms. It's not just Ivy League, folks. Don't tell yourself that. That's the easy route. Don't tell yourself that. So I'm not suggesting not sending your kids to college. Here's what I am suggesting, though. If your child is not planning on a graduate degree like law or something like that, and they're just going to get an arts degree, maybe a technical school, maybe an online version of somewhere like Hillsdale or somewhere else. I mean, the text I got were delusional. And I don't usually push back on this audience, but I do try to make you think, oh, my kid will be fine. Okay. Why don't you email me back in a couple of years, tell me how that works out? Because I'll be damned if I'm paying for my kids to be brainwashed. I'm just not doing that. I want someone, you know, the whole purpose of college, to the extent that you learn how to think, and it's even their business to teach you that, is for folks to learn a framework with which to evaluate the world, not what is wrong or what is right, and be silenced in the classroom. That was the first half of the interview on Fox News. It was excellent. If you want to read what she has to say, I've got it up on my Facebook page. I will have the rest of it coming up next. It is that important. I have to play it for you.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I rarely, as you know, spend so much time on one thing, but this, you have got to hear this. Yeonmi Park, who came from North Korea, escaped to China, was sold at 13 as a sex slave. China's fabulous, by the way. Democrat Party will explain that to you. Then escaped from there and made it to the U.S. Unbelievable story. And is now at Columbia. And the thing that has alarmed her the most are her classes at Columbia University. The North Korean defector fears the United States' future, quote, is as bleak as North Korea, unquote, after she attended one of the country's most prestigious universities. She says she was deeply disturbed by what she found because it was so familiar. Quote, I expected I was paying this fortune all this time and energy, she told Fox News, to learn how to think, but they are forcing you to think the way they want to think, she said. I realized, wow, this is insane. I thought America was different. But I saw so many similarities to what I saw in North Korea that I started worrying. Yeonmi said red flags immediately upon arriving at the school. She says there are similarities to North Korean propaganda that include anti-Western sentiment, collective guilt, and suffocating political correctness. During orientation, she says, she was scolded by a university staff member for admitting she enjoyed classic literature, such as Jane Austen. She said, I love those books. I thought it was a good thing, recalled Park. Then the administrator said, did you know those writers had a colonial mindset? They were racist and bigots and are subconsciously brainwashing you. It only got worse from there as Yeonmi realized that every one of her classmates at the Ivy League school was infected with what she saw as anti-American propaganda reminiscent of the sort she had grown up with. Quote, American bastard, unquote, was one word for North Koreans that Park was taught growing up. She said they would do math problems that would say there are four American bastards, you kill two of them. How many American bastards are left to kill? Yet she would hear the same language she heard in North Korea at Columbia. She said she was shocked and confused by issues surrounding gender and language, with every class asking students to announce their preferred pronouns. She said, English is my third language. I learned it as an adult. I sometimes still say he or she by mistake, and now they are going to ask me to call them they? She says it makes it a struggle to speak the language because the tense is so weird. It was chaos, said Yeonmi. It felt like the regression in civilization. She defected from North Korea. I love this line. It's my favorite in the whole piece. Quote, even North Korea is not this nuts, she said. North Korea was pretty crazy, but not this crazy. Why, she says? Because in North Korea, you don't have a choice. They put a gun to your head. You do it to survive. But she can't wrap her mind around is how people she says want to be dominated, want to be ruled, want to be slaves, and they don't even know it. She says, because I have seen oppression, I know what it looks like, said Yeonmi, who by the age of 13 had witnessed people drop dead of starvation right before her eyes. These kids, she's talking about at Columbia, these kids keep saying how they're oppressed, how much injustice they've experienced. They don't know how hard it is to be free, she said. I literally crossed through the middle of the Gobi Desert to be free. But what I did was nothing. So many people fought harder than me and didn't make it. Park and her mother first fled the oppressive North Korea regime in 2007 when Yeonmi was 13 years old. After crossing into China over the frozen Yalu River, they fell into the hands of human traffickers who sold them into sex slavery. Yeon Mi for less than $300 and her mother for roughly $100. Eventually, she was able to escape that with the help of Christian missionaries. They fled to Mongolia, walking across the Gobi Desert and taking refuge in South Korea. She wrote a book called In Order to Live. I got to read that. In North Korea, she says, I literally believed that my dear leader, Kim Jong-un, who she still calls dear leader. It's the weirdest thing throughout her interview. She still calls him dear leader. In North Korea, I literally believed that my dear leader, Kim Jong-un, was starving, she recalled. He's the fattest guy. How can anyone believe that? And then somebody showed me a photo and I said, look at him. He's the fattest guy. Other people are all thin. And I was like, oh my God, why did I not notice that he was fat? Because I never learned how to think critically. She expected to do that at Columbia. And she was shocked by what she got. Here's the rest of the interview. This is very important for parents. Do not tell yourself, oh, I'm sending him to Clemson. It's Clemson. You know, Dabo. You mean the guy who led the Black Lives Matter march? That guy? You know, Black Lives Matter, whose founders say they are communist organizers? Yeah, Clemson. Go ahead, try that. It's not going to be any different than this, folks. You got to learn to think differently. Here's Yeon Lee. She's trying to tell American parents what's really going on inside these schools.
Right. For North Koreans, we have to do it to survive. But I don't get it why a lot of Americans are choosing this path without any external force.
And Yeon Lee, I think it's important that people know the background of your story and how much you had to go through to come to America. Can you tell me about your journey, about how you fled North Korea in 2007 at the young age of 13, and then what happened after fleeing North Korea?
So North Korea is literally the darkest place on earth right now. In this 21st century, they do not even know the existence of internet. I escaped for a bowl of rice. I did not even know what freedom was when I was escaping. I was just barely starving. And when I went to China to find food, I was sold as a sexual slave at 13 for less than $300. After being a modern-day slavery, and this is another thing that breaks my heart. So many people in America, in the West, talking about slavery, but they do not want to fight for the slavery that is happening to the current modern people. And after 2 years later in China, I literally had to walk across the Gobi Desert into Mongolia. And after Mongolia, I made it to South Korea. It was 2 years of long journey. And that is the thing, like, people here haven't gone through actual real hardship. They keep talking about systemic oppression. And I'm like, you don't know what oppression looks like.
Bingo. Bingo. Texter writes, hey, Tara, my grandson who lives with us graduated high school this year. He started Tri-County Tech this week before graduation, having secured scholarships and getting a job. I couldn't be prouder. Texter writes, what about local public K-12 schools they need to fix? They are barely attendable at this point. I am just about at the breaking point with Greenville County Schools. A breaking point for me, everybody has one, was my daughter showing me her assignment. She was required for points to say that climate change was the gravest threat facing America. Something, by the way, the Joint Chiefs don't even believe it. She had to answer that. And I said, show me the website that they make you use for this quiz. It was a fundraising page for an anti-global warming lobby. A fundraising page. You could click the button to donate. By the way, this was social studies. In case you want to know why your kids don't know anything about the founding fathers, that's what they're learning in social studies. Start asking them what they're learning. She was in seventh grade. This is propaganda. It's not education. It's not critical thinking. Look, I'd have been fine if they said, hey, read this anti-global warming site and this pro site and let's have a debate about it. All right, that's critical thinking. That's cool. I'm not afraid of that. But that's not what was happening. Greenville County Schools, folks. And she had to answer those questions or fail the quiz. So I sat there with her. We did it together. And we said, okay, here's the answer you want, but here's why it's wrong. Hang on the text line. Texter writes, hey, Tara, my prediction is you won't make it to senior year. Not at the rate we're going, no. Not when what passes for social studies in Greenville County Schools is a fundraising website that they are required to read and had a quiz on. that you had to answer that global warming, climate change was the biggest risk to man, that the Arctic was going to melt and put large portions of the world underwater. They should have gone ahead and asked, how much money can you donate by clicking on the button? There was a button to donate. No counterpoints, pure high grade, I should say low grade, propaganda. This is what they're using. And this was social studies, folks. Social studies. So if you're wondering why your kids don't know anything about the founding fathers, have no idea how the country was founded or what individual liberty is, couldn't tell you, that's why. Ask them what they're learning. Don't make assumptions. Ah, oh, South Carolina. Oh, it's bad. I'm here to tell you. So I sat down, took the quiz with her, and she put the answers for the you know, that were required. And then we together wrote an explanation for why the answers that were required were wrong, and asked why we were being used to, you know, asked to use a fundraising page for a global warming advocacy group as learning material with no counterpoint. That's Greenville County Schools. You think they're not brainwashing your kids? By the way, that's the fourth one of those I've caught them doing. Yeah, it starts in the third grade with mandatory reading about how carbon is killing off the penguins and, yeah, all of that. Mandatory reading. Total brainwashing, no counterpoint. Starts in the third grade. And that doesn't even count the field trips. So your prediction, I won't make it to senior year. I'm well on my way out of there. It's just absolute brainwashing. My kids are keen to it, and they like to show me the examples. They like to find them. It's fun. And then we go and, you know, we look for the other counterpoint. And that's cool. If you're not doing that, they've already got their hooks in your kid's brain. And don't assume because they're just around you, they'll absorb it. They won't. You have to actively work against this stuff if you want to stay in these schools. And I'm not sure how much more I could take, honest to God. And that wasn't even the worst of it. It's not education. It's just pure propaganda. Texter writes on here. There's one of these I really wanted to read. Where'd it go? Oh, here it is. Tara, I went through this college dilemma with my son. He is going to Charleston Southern. Ask your listeners to investigate Christian colleges like North Greenville, Anderson, CSU, et cetera, faith-based and politically conservative, a win-win. Now, the texter writes, it sounds like we need a crowd of people at the next Greenville County School Board meeting. Texter writes, Tara, after exiting the military and graduating from Spartanburg Community College, USC Upstate, and Clemson for a master's degree, I can confirm they are all indoctrination programs. Yes, they are. Texter writes, how was she graded on the paper? She got an A. I was waiting for the teacher to dock her. I was going to lose my mind, but she didn't. Texter writes, Tara, I'm reading Candace Owens' book, Blackout. Really good book. She's got the Democrats' number. Yes, she does. She has for a long time. Yeah. All right. Want to jump on this. This is just a teaser, by the way, to get you to listen to the Battleground podcast this week. Text the word Battleground to 71307. Let me just read this to you. By the way, there's a reason the Department of Injustice, which exists to persecute Americans who want to be free, they'd fit right in North Korea, was determined not to investigate any of the election fraud. They didn't investigate, they didn't file a single subpoena or pick up a single Voxer ballots. But now they are determined to investigate the forensic audits being done. And that's because of what the forensic audits are turning up. So Merrick Garland, in total violation of the 10th Amendment, maybe somebody should explain it to him, speak slowly, our attorney general. The Constitution is very specific. The states run federal elections, not the Department of Injustice and not the federal government. So there's been a war of words going back and forth. But I want to read a paragraph to you to give you an idea of what's coming this week on the Battleground America podcast. To find out the rest of the story, you'll have to listen. When Fulton County, Georgia poll manager Susie Voyles sorted through a large stack of mail-in ballots last November, she noticed an alarmingly odd pattern of uniformity in the markings for Joseph R. Biden. One after another, the absentee votes contained perfectly filled-in ovals for Biden, except that each of the darkened bubbles featured an identical white void inside of them in the shape of a tiny crescent, indicating they'd been marked with a toner ink cartridge instead of a pen or pencil. Adding to suspicions, she noticed that all the ballots were printed on different stock paper than the others she'd handed out as part of a statewide hand recount. she'd handled, excuse me, as part of a statewide hand recount of the razor-thin November 3rd presidential election. And none were folded or creased, as she had typically observed in mail-in ballots that had been removed from envelopes. Wait till you hear what finally happened next, and you'll understand why the Department of Injustice is freaking out over these forensic audits that are beginning to spread. For that and more, tune in to the Battleground America podcast. Actually, also listen right now. Going to give you that keyword to win $1,000.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.